For many racing fans, tomorrow's the biggest race of the year, the Grand National. Hot favourite, Tiger Roll. Just thinking, did I get Tiger Roll in the sweep? No. Oh, I got up for review. It's kind of like my career, isn't it? Anyway, the hot favourite, Tiger Roll, the 2018 winner, will bid to become the first horse since Red Rum in 73 and 74 to secure back-to-back victories. Who should you be putting your money on? Well, if you're wise, you might be putting your money on nobody, of course. Who better to ask than the racing expert, John McCraig? What are your tips, Mr. McCraig? Good morning.
Well, I would say, first of all, Stephen, how are you, by the way?
I'm doing all right.
This weight.
Haven't talked to you in a while.
Well, look, you've lost 3 stone, I hear.
You must be following my Twitter feed. Unfortunately, John, lost 3 stone, but five more to go. Five more to go, John.
Well, you really fight on, all I can say is. And I can just tell you, I've lost 7 stone.
I saw pictures of you and I couldn't believe it. Now, was that through diet or illness, John?
No. That's a much longer time. But I started to sort of try to diet about 2 or 3 years ago.
Wow.
And I know exactly what you're going through. I just ask you one question. Have you got a dog?
A dog? No, I want to get a wee shih tzu, but I haven't got one yet.
Well, if you can get a dog, my wife, the booby, says if you have a dog, you have to go out, take it out for walks.
Yes.
It's a tremendous
thing. I would get a man to do that.
Yeah. No, looking at the Grand National, one horse not to back is Tiger Roll. Because look at the price. It's carpet and a half, row 4-1, 9-2. It's a terrible price in a 40-runner Grand National. Doesn't mean he can't win. But my goodness, on all season, aren't there better cup and a half, 3.5-1 chances than Tiger Roll?
So, but Tiger Roll is the hot favourite. Why wouldn't you go for the favourite, John?
Oh, he's magnificent. He won the race last year. He's won cross countries at Cheltenham. He is an absolute fantastic horse. But look at what the opposition is. It's a quality field this year. We've got horse places in the Gold Cup and everything. But you don't want to take 4-1 or 9-2 a horse in the Grand National. It's all a question of value and price. And I don't say he won't win. He's a bonny, wonderful little horse. He's carrying £6 more than he was last year. And, you know, the hazards of entry. But the thing is, I'd like to explain, is that a fraud is being perpetrated.
No.
Entry is not the same as it was. Now, the public look, 30 fences, the chair and beaches and all that. But everything's changed. And the most important thing is horse welfare. And in the last
nothing wrong with
years,
that, John. Nothing wrong with that.
No, absolutely right. And in the last 6 years, no horse has had a fatal injury in the Grand National. Fantastic work has been done. Beaches Brook, you know, the jockeys used to say it was like jumping off the edge of the world. Now it's an even landing, straight as a normal fence. The fences have been modified inside, that they haven't got the stiff, hard birch that really harms the horses and contributes to the falls. And yet the public, well, there's been no secret about it. The public don't realise it. And that's a wonderful tribute to Aintree, to the racecourse, to the British Horse Racing Authority, that the race looks the same. But it isn't, and thank goodness for that, we've moved on.
So, John, if you wouldn't be going for Tiger Roll, the hot favourite, who would you be going for?
I'm afraid to go the second favourite, Raff Findon. Irish got about 20 runners in the race. Absolutely amazing. And Raff Findon's got a lot of very good form with him. So I'd go along if I had to want a 10-1 chance, Raff Findon. But also, I say each way as well, don't bet each way at under about 20-1, 33-1. It's not worth it. So if you're thinking of backing each way, those kind of horses, all you'll roughly do is get your money back and a bit more, back 2 to win. And you might hit the jackpot.
And what about, John, the horse I got in the office sweepstake under review?
Well, it is under review and it's got very little chance, I'm afraid.
I was stitched up.
You know, at least nobody's trying to flatter you and sort of fiddle the office sweep so they can give it to you. They realised it was your ticket, so they got up a rag and they gave you a good review.
John, just before you go this morning, and thank you for that, I read an article, I think it was a few months ago, I read it, in which you'd given an interview telling people that you were finding it really, really tough after you lost the Channel 4 gig and you were finding life tough. Is that still the case?
Well, I would ask you this question. Stephen, would you like to wake up in the morning and have nothing? No purpose in life. And that's what my life is now. You're not working. Work is more important than anything in life. You can't look after your family properly if you're not working. And it is now with no purpose in life. It is very, very difficult.
And what do you mean, John, you've got no purpose in life?
You don't want to go out. It is, I've worked all my life, never missed a day's work, never, ever missed a day's work for illness. If I was ill or something, I'd struggle into work. I've done it all my life, and work comes first. And so when you don't have that, it's a great pleasure to speak to you. So my highlight of the day, it's not Jeremy Kyle as usual in the morning, it's speaking to Stephen Nolan now.
So, Johnny, you do realise how sad that sounds, and I mean people being sad for you, when you say you've no purpose in life. You've got people around you who love you, John.
Oh, yes, I know that, but it's not just me. It's anybody who's forcibly retired. I say to anybody, don't retire voluntarily. Cut down if you can. Go in your own time. That's why I admire people who retire in their own time, or they've got their own hobbies and all that sort of thing. But I don't believe in hobbies. I've always believed in working. So when you can't work, when you've no sort of target to aim for, it happens to millions of people, Steve. It's not just me. It's to millions of people around the world.
And does it get you down, John?
It does, yes. Of course it does. And
and how have you got through that?
Well, you get through it. You know, I wouldn't tell her, but I am lucky. I've got a fantastic wife called the Booby, and she's absolutely fantastic. Without her, I wouldn't be here now. And that's if you anybody who has got a partner or whatever it is, keep hold of them. And you're very, very fortunate if you have that.
What's your daily routine now then, John? What would you do in a typical day?
Well, what am I doing? I've been waiting for your call. I'm fascinated by politics. Actually, in 1979, I was in the press gallery when the Callaghan government fell. And now we're having this sort of drama, or accentuated drama in Parliament. It's fantastic. So, politics is, I'm a Donald Trump supporter, for instance. So it's, there's lots going on in the world that I enjoy. But you've got sports, and Newcastle will never win anything as far as I can see, but I hope we're going to avoid relegation this year. So you've got those little things to keep.
Do you go out much, John?
Pardon?
Do you go out much?
Not much, no. What I want to go to, where am I going to show you? Might go to the theatre or something occasionally, or restaurant occasionally, but I'm not eating a lot now.
Why not?
No, I just don't feel, I don't fancy it. It's this awful thing, Stephen. Like, normally, you eat, all of us, we eat and we have a good nosh-up or grub and all that sort of thing. The only reason I eat now is to keep alive. In other words, you've got to eat. You've got to eat your 3,000 calories or whatever it is. So that's the only reason. I don't look forward to food now, as I used to. I used to be glutton and greedy, sod and everything. That's why I got so fat and got up to 19 stone. And which I had to lose weight, and I've been doing gradually over 3 or 4 years.
Are you depressed, John? Are you
yes.
Suffering from depression?
I'm not suffering from depression. And I don't mope and moan and groan and all that sort of thing. And, there's things like racing and sports that I follow, politics that I follow, that sort of thing. But when you're on the outside now, I don't enjoy going racing nearly as much, because going to a race course and not working. I've never been down the years to a race course without working. I was a floorman for a bookmaker and tic-tac and all that sort of thing for some time. And then a poor journalist and everything, but a failed punter and a failed bookmaker. So but that's all in the past now. But it's the same with anybody, Stephen. The time will come for you. And there's so many of your listeners that they have to retire, either through ill health, but hopefully at least they got their health and they can do other things at the different times. But it is a difficult time of life when you wake up in the morning, no purpose.
John, could you not, and I know it's difficult, but could you not try to redefine yourself, reinvent yourself, get new hobbies, meet new friends?
No. You'll be sending me down to the local old folks club or something.
Do you want to be alive, John?
Oh, yes. Yeah, well, there are fortunate things going on that I can be can look on from the side view. But when you're not actually employed, when you haven't got a purpose, it is awful. Now, I wake up in the morning and it's Jeremy Carl in the morning. I'm trying to avoid Judge Render in the afternoon, sport in the evening and politics. But I'm not part of it. And it's the same with so many people who retire.
Yeah. I ask that.
So many people listen to you because you can, you're part of their way of life over in Northern Ireland when you come over here as well. And you've got that satisfaction.
I asked that
fulfilling hopes of many people.
I asked that very blunt question about being alive, John, because I thought I had read, and I was sad for you. I thought I had read where you'd given an interview to someone in which you'd basically said that you're just existing now and you wouldn't care whether you lived or died.
Yeah, well, I certainly wouldn't. I've always said euthanasia is absolutely, it should be anybody's right to say. They want to be. I've told all my doctors I'll sign anything that they want me to sign. But people shouldn't be artificially kept alive unless if they want to, fine. But most people don't. And it's just one of those things. It's religion's part of the trouble because people believe sanctity of life and all that sort of thing.
Well, listen, you've given many people a lot of fun and laughter over the years, John, and I hope
you're very kind.
But I hope you're okay.
But your battle that you're having with your weight is tremendously important, and you must keep going, and you must every day. It's easy for me to say because I've done it. Don't have what you shouldn't have.
Yeah.
Cut back.
I'm trying.
And it's vital for you. It really is. Yeah. Or else you'll be prematurely retired, and you won't like that.
John, thank you very much indeed, and all the very best. Thank you.